I was just loving the videos. Forgot that I had to come up here. Happy Father's Day. Truthfully, today is one of, this Sunday, Profession of Faith Sunday, is one of my favorite Sundays in the church calendar. I'm just really excited for what God has in store for us this morning. I'd like to call those who are professing their faith to come forward and just stand here up on stage. This morning, we are taking part in a kind of spiritual battle. John in the book of Revelation tells us that when we share our testimony, we are doing battle with the evil one in this world. And so we're excited to hear from 8 different young people as they declare their love for Jesus Christ in this world. Today, we're privileged to welcome these young people into the full life of the church's fellowship as they profess their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. When these young people were children, they were welcomed into God's covenant community, and now they wish to share fully in the life of this congregation and the whole church of God. At their baptism, their family, and our church family, we affirmed that God acts first in our life. He covenants with us, with these youth and their families. His Spirit softens our hard hearts so that we can accept His gift of unconditional love and accept His salvation. Nothing in those baptism or dedication services that these youth as children were part of magically sealed the deal for these young people. The biblical expectation is that they too would respond to the faith and the work of Christ in their life, and that expectation has followed them every single day since. So today, these young men and these young women will publicly accept and confirm what was sealed in their baptism and in their dedications. And they will confess their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and offer themselves to God as His willing servants. This morning, I want us to make 3 observations as we hear these testimonies. The first observation I want us to make is how dependent all of these young people are on the community that surrounds them. That's you, in some capacity, as their support church. And some of you have guests, as guests have come from outside of New Life Church, and you've played an important role. So hear how community plays an important role in them coming to this place. Observe how Scripture is so foundational in their life. In their testimonies, many of them will refer to a text that God has revealed Himself through, and the verses that their mentors, faith mentors, have chosen for them are specific and significant for their journey and their life. And the last thing that I'm going to ask you to observe this morning is these are just normal people doing their profession of faith. And we'll help you understand that by the slides that are up here that just describe them as normal people. I think sometimes when people share their testimony, we have this sometimes this wondering as audience members, oh, they're, you know, we can put them up on a pedestal as a spiritual giant or a saint, as it were, but that's not who's standing in front of you here this morning. These are not perfect people, as we all know, because neither are we. But they are testifying to recognizing that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior and declaring today that they choose the life of a disciple to follow hard after Jesus. In those easy moments where it's easy to follow Christ and in those difficult moments where it's difficult because of life's challenges. That's who's standing in front of you this morning. So make those 3 observations: community, Scripture, and these are people who love Jesus Christ. So let me pray for them, and then I'm going to ask them to each come up and share their testimony. I'm going to ask them a question, and then their faith mentor is going to read a verse for them. And then at the end, we have Caitlin Charlebois that's getting baptized this morning as well. So let's pray. Lord, I thank You for this incredible moment that we get to be part of today. Thank You, Lord, for the way that You have woven Your story in and through their life. We thank You, Lord, for this moment of recognition right now in this time as You speak through their testimonies. Lord, we thank You that this is part of spiritual warfare. Young people declaring they love You, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that You would just bless them in this moment. If they have butterflies, Lord, let that go to the wayside. Let them just, with passion, declare their love for You this morning. Thank You, Lord, for the work of Your Holy Spirit to soften their hard hearts so they can come here and declare their love for You. Lord, thank You for community. Thank You for the people that have walked alongside them. And thank You, Lord, for Your word. In Your name we pray. And everybody together said, Amen. All right, Brandon, come on forward.
Hello, everyone. My name is Brandon Hofler, and I'm really excited to have this opportunity to share my testimony with you and become a member here at New Life. This congregation has been a huge part of my walk with the Lord in a short amount of time, and I'm excited to tell you guys all about that this morning. I was born and raised in Smithers. I grew up in a Christian home and even went to a Christian school. Life was simple and easy. But when I was about 11, my family was going through a really hard time. As a little boy, I couldn't understand the things that were going on around me. All I knew was that I was hurt and felt abandoned. During that time, I cried myself to sleep on a regular basis. On those nights, I would often cry out to God, asking him where he was. And for a long time, I didn't get an answer, until one night, I was sitting on the edge of my bed, weeping, and out of nowhere, I felt an overwhelming peace come upon me. And I knew it was God. And I knew it was all in his hands and everything would be okay. So I just stopped crying, laid down, and went to sleep. That wasn't the last time I cried, but I've hung on to that memory and remembered him in it. So on that night was when I discovered God was real and that he cared for me. But as I got older, I rejected the lifestyle he offered me. I learned all about what he said in the Bible from my parents and the Christian community around me. But I was hypocritical in my faith. I could recite the things of God and still say that they didn't apply to me. I was arrogant and weak. And when hard times came, I would literally say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And as I got older, I lived a life of selfishness and lies. I got into partying and other bad habits. When I was kind, it didn't last long and it was usually fake. Until about 1 year ago, I was planning to follow the people around me to go and party at college and live how I wanted. But over time, my heart slowly began to change. I felt restless about my decision. I knew it was time for me to leave Smithers and start my own life, but I didn't know where I was going anymore. And at the time, I didn't realize it, but God put it on my heart to come to Abbotsford instead, which didn't make any logical sense. I knew practically no one here at all. I wrote God's push in my heart off as my gut feeling, and thankfully I followed it, and I got here in October. My mindset was that I'll find friends quickly and I can party here anyway. But when I made that decision to come here instead, reality hit me like a brick. I lost a lot of relationships that were really important to me, and I had no friends for the first time in my life, and my family was still far away. I was completely alone, and I fell to rock bottom. Depressed and anxious, I cried out to God, asking him for strength and community and direction and why I'd even come here in the first place. I knew he was listening, but at the time, he didn't seem to answer. I stayed in that state for a few months, and during that time, I was forced to make a decision. I had a Bible on my counter and a bottle of whiskey in the cupboard, and I knew it was time for me to choose my path. And by the grace of God, he gave me the wisdom to choose him, and instead of pouring myself a glass, I poured into him. I grew into a true relationship with him, and he was all that kept me hanging on. And it was so hard because he showed me what my sins actually were and how they affected myself and the people around me. After getting through a long period of shame, I saw he had forgiven me and he wanted a relationship with me. And I broke down because of it, because it was too good and too beautiful to be true. And I hung on to his word. I can do all things through him who gives me strength, and to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So that's what I did. I poured into God, and I tried to find a church I could call my home. This went on for a long time, until I walked into New Life on March 3rd. I came in, and I sat by myself, exhausted and disappointed with how things were going, and I just prayed that another Christian would talk to me, because none had in the Fraser Valley for months. And out of obedience, someone did, and then another did. And I got invited to the Young Adults program, and I connected with them. And God grew my understanding of him. He gave me friends, a family, a mentor, a home, even a job, and all kinds of relationships in this room right now that I never imagined I would even have. And for the first time, I'm part of a church that is like family to me. And looking back through my journey and my whole life, I was such a fool to not trust God in the beginning, because if he answered my requests instantly, I never would have grown to love him the way I do. And as I think about it all, one verse comes to mind. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. So now in the hard times and the good times, I no longer say, my God, why have you forsaken me? But I say, my God, thank you for not forsaking me. And it has been amazing because I've had so much more true joy in the last 8 months pursuing Jesus than I did in all the years of living for myself. And I know it will be hard in the future, but I also know that God is stronger than anything I will face and that he will continue to carry me through every storm that comes. And I'm so excited to see where he takes me. Praise be to God. Thank you.
Just before Justin shares that verse with you, I want to ask you a question, Brandon. Brandon, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died and rose again for the forgiveness of your sins? And do you believe that it is God that gives you the peace that passes all understanding? How do you answer?
I do. God helping me.
Oh, this guy should be a preacher, hey? He gets fired up when he starts saying things of God, yeah? Woo! RCMP stands for Royal Christian Minister of Pastoring something. Royal Christian. All right, that's enough. Okay, so when I was praying for Brandon, I felt the Lord quickly bring two scriptures to heart for you, and they're this, and I think it's for a reason. Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Secondly, Ephesians 6, 10 through 13, but I'm just going to read the first part. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so you'll be able to stand firm. And I know that God is going to be taking you into some areas where you're going to be a light, and the light in the midst of darkness. He wants you to be strong. He wants you to be strong, but in his strength. Sometimes we get confused and we try to do it on our own. He wants you to be strong in your strength, in his strength, not your own, okay? Yeah. Here you go, brother. Good job, man.
I'd like to call Lara forward.
Good morning. My name is Lara Tolmi, and I've attended New Life Church for around 6 years. I've been part of a Christian household my entire life. I was born in small town Alberta, and I was the only Christian around my age. This meant that my faith was not able to flourish. I definitely enjoyed my elementary school years, but Christ was missing. In grade 7, my family decided to move to Abbotsford, British Columbia. Going from being the only person knowing about God in your life, to moving to the Bible Belt completely surrounded by Christianity at a Christian school is a pretty extreme change. I felt like I didn't fit in. Everyone around me had similar Christian upbringings, and I barely knew how to answer the Bible questions being asked in my Bible class. Being thrown into a completely different lifestyle, I became a really sad person, having a negative outlook on life. I felt like I wasn't good enough for God to love me, and that I had no purpose. With all of this going on through my life, I decided Christianity wasn't for me. Obviously, something changed because I'm here professing my faith today. So in grade 8, I noticed an international student who spent all of her lunches and breaks at school reading her Bible, talking to teachers about faith, and genuinely determined to learn about God. I started to talk with her, and to my surprise, she was an atheist. Soon enough, we were best friends. I had a connection with her that I had with no one else, a mutual understanding. We both grew up in the public school system and were coming to know Christ more independently. The two of us were able to have these deep conversations, asking questions in a safe place. Being able to work through these questions together brought me closer to God, and I'm fully committed to him, or I fully committed to him in grade 10. I realized I am a sinner and I need Jesus Christ as my savior. Surrendering my life to Christ has not solved all my problems, and I'm far from being perfect, but the Lord gave me a change of heart. My outlook on life is no longer so negative, and I'm able to see God's love for me. Christ gave me purpose and community, and I've never felt more welcome than in the community of Christ. Whether it's youth group or just a regular Sunday, I feel accepted. These aren't miraculous circumstances. I'm sure there are non-Christians out there who have a sense of purpose, a positive outlook, and a community, But for me, without Christ, I didn't. And I'm forever grateful God has blessed me in this way.
So, Lara, I have this question for you this morning. Lara, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died and rose again for the forgiveness of your sins? And do you believe that it is the Holy Spirit that has brought you to this point of declaring your love for Jesus Christ? How do you answer? Awesome. And Lara is a member of our youth group, and her two leaders, Sarah Hill and Ashley Visser, have chosen a verse, and I'm going to read that verse for you this morning. Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 8. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Thank you, Lara. I look forward to working with you this summer. James.
Good morning. My name is James Vanderclack. I was adopted into a caring and loving Christian home when I was 14 months old. My parents have always set a good example of what it means to be a follower of Christ, and they've done their best to teach me about God as I grew older. However, even with such great Christian mentors in my life, I hit what you could call a spiritual wall in grade 9. I lost interest in what people had to say about God and Christianity altogether. I would show up to all my Bible classes and get good marks in it because that's what I needed to do to show everybody that I was on the straight path to becoming a good Christian. The same went for church. I was sitting there in the service every Sunday, but it was mostly because my parents went to New Life. I would come to church and I couldn't retain anything out of the services. This was also a continual theme even on the Mexico missions trips. I would go on the trip and it would be the most incredible, life-changing experience. That I would come back on what you might call a spiritual high, and however, this would only last a couple weeks until I'd go back to living my old ways. After coming back from my last missions trip, I stopped and thought, why did this happen? How is it that 1 week I could be so on fire for Jesus and what he was doing for the lives of others in Mexico, and then a little while later, I would completely forget and didn't acknowledge what he was doing here for me at home? I was so caught up in my day-to-day life and what my life looked like around me, that whether it was school or work, that I didn't stop and realize that I can commit my faith and live for him here in Abbotsford no matter what's going around me or in my life. It wasn't until grade 11 this year where I started to grow more in my faith and take those first steps forward, not because everybody else wanted to, but for the first time because I wanted to. It was through many of the mentors in my life and prodding conversations that I realized that I am a sinner and I need Jesus to be able to be saved. I don't know if I've ever been able to comprehend this before, but I'm starting to see what it means to take up the cross and live for him daily. I'm here this morning professing my faith in front of my family and friends, and I'm excited to see what God has for me as I head for university next year.
Let me just ask you this question, James. James, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died and rose again for the forgiveness of your sins? And do you believe it is God that is giving you the talents and the skills that you have to bring him glory in your life? How do you answer?
I do, God helping me.
Luke is a verse that he's chosen for James.
All right, this is from Romans. A little long, bear with me. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. And James, I was thinking of you, and I know you're going to Trinity next year, and that last line there really stuck with me and made me think of you, because you're going to be put into a place with a lot of other people with different faiths. And yeah, just be encouraged to know that you'll never be put to shame for your faith, no matter where you're at in it. And it's been a pleasure being your youth leader all these years. So, thank you.
David, come on forward.
Hello, everyone. My name is David Williamson. I was born January 10, 2001 in Abbotsford. I grew up in a Christian household, going to church on Sunday and youth once a week. I was homeschooled up until grade 6, which I then switched to Abbotsford Christian School. I grew up having a pretty basic faith, some could say. I grew up surrounded by the Christian faith, and because of this, I remember asking God into my life at a fairly young age. But because of being young at the time, I don't think I entirely knew what I was asking for or what living my life for God really meant. As I grew up, I would say that my faith was not always on the front burner. Instead, I would put other things as my primary focus, whether that being school, sports, or work. I began to realize around grade 10 through 11 that I wasn't exactly living my life for God and following his path for me. Instead, I was living my life doing what I thought was best for me and not asking God to help me make decisions. This realization started to kick in as I was taking a grade 12 Bible module at Abbotsford Christian called Crazy Love. This module focused on Francis Chan's book called Crazy Love, where he describes what it's like to be on fire for God. This module got me wanting to dedicate and start living my life for God. So I am here today to profess my faith and declare my life to God, because I realize that I am a sinner and need Christ in my life. While I may have just started this journey, I'm excited to see where God will lead me and see how I will grow in my life as well as in faith. A verse that I have reflected on throughout my life, as well as a verse which I think I will continuously go back to, is Romans 14, verse 8. And it says, "If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord." This verse has reminded me that when I make decisions, I should make them according to God's will for me, rather than making decisions for my own self-benefit. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, David. So I have a question for you, David. David, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died and rose again for the forgiveness of your sins? And do you believe that it is he that has redeemed you and that you belong to him? How do you answer? And he's asked Elizabeth Barber, who is a youth leader in the church that he attends their youth ministry and mission, to read a verse for him. Thank you, Elizabeth.
David, the verse I want to leave with you is Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. I want you to remember this, no matter what you do, where you go, or what may happen. God is always going to be there. Speak and ask to him, and he will listen and provide. He will, if you seek him, he will be with you in everything. He will reveal himself, and you will know him deeper. Step out in faith and take action, and he will open the door to more than you could ever imagine. It's been a privilege seeing you grow, asking questions, and mature in your faith. Stay strong in him, and he will stay strong in you.
Yeah, Abby.
Good morning, New Life. You may not already know me, but for those who don't, I am Abigail Van Daventer, and I've attended New Life my entire life. I was baptized here as an infant. I've been taught about God by my parents and grandparents since a young age. I've also gone to a Christian school since I was in kindergarten, attended GEMS here at New Life, and currently attend youth. But in the past few years, I've been trying to make my faith my own, and that is why I'm here today. When I was at a GEMS event in grade 3, there was the opportunity to give my life to God, and I did. But as I got older, I started realizing that I hadn't really known what it meant to give my life to God. Around a year or two ago, I knew I wanted to do it again, but I waited for a very long time. There were people in my life that had a big God reveal, and as a result, gave their life to God, so I found myself waiting for God to show himself to me in a really obvious way, not realizing that God was calling me in everyday life. Every time the thought of recommitting my life to God entered my head, I pushed it away, thinking it was not the right time. Then one church service, someone preached on the book of Revelation and coming out of the monster to Jesus, and I knew that this was God telling me that it was the right time. After all, your heart usually doesn't start randomly beating 10 times faster than usual. So I prayed with my mom and I recommitted my life to God. That was all fine and dandy for a while, but then God started saying no to a lot of things I really wanted and showing me that his plan is a lot different than mine. My favorite verse is Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 14, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity." Although this is my favorite verse, I had difficulty believing that it was true. I really struggled, and still do, socially and with self-confidence. There were people who made my life really challenging, and I got down on myself. I often felt alone and like I was not good enough, and sometimes still do. God had given me gifts, but I did not know what they were. There was a night at Gems where we went around in a circle and shared what we thought our spiritual gifts were, and I honestly could not think of any. This was something that made me feel very down for a long time, and I was not confident in who I was in Christ. One of the things that I asked for many times that he said no to was sports. But as I look back on it now, I realize that he was answering my prayers only in ways that I did not expect. Instead of turning me into the star athlete I wanted to be, he showed me that I can work harder than I thought I could and enjoy being part of a team without being a star athlete. He helped me feel accepted and valued through sports instead of giving me what I had asked for. During my struggles and hard times, God showed himself to me through people and experiences. A couple months ago, I was having a really tough time and I came to church and Justin preached on letting things go that were holding us back from God. It made me very emotional because it could not have happened at a better time, and I felt like the sermon was written just for me. God also sent me some pretty awesome youth leaders, mentors, and parents who have brought me closer to God. When I was struggling, they were always there to listen and give spiritual advice or just let me vent to them. When I was not confident in who I was in Christ, they reminded me that I was loved and beautiful in his eyes. And when I could not see God, they helped me see him. I also have been blessed with an amazing youth group and other friends that have helped me grow in my faith. When I felt alone, they helped me feel loved, and there are answers to my prayers that God would send me some friends. There were a few youth nights that got emotional and very vulnerable because I knew that they were always there to walk with me in my faith journey, and I have realized more and more that they are in my life for a reason. God also reminds me of his glory and unending love through worship at youth and church. I had it a few times where lyrics really spoke to me, and I just could not deny that God was always near. Whenever we have worship nights, I always feel really close to God, and it often makes me a little bit emotional. Yet another way that God shows himself to me is through creation. My grandparents helped me appreciate nature. Whenever I am in creation, whether it be camping, Esperanza, a salt trip, etc., I always feel at peace and I am overwhelmed by God's beauty and creativity. I'm now at a point in my life where I know that I can't live without God, and it feels weird if I don't daily spend time in prayer. I've had it before when something felt off and I realized it was because I had not prayed about the day yet. I know that he is always there for me and that I am never alone, and it is reassuring to know that whenever hard things happen or my life feels out of control, I have God to lean on. I'm here today to share with the congregation publicly that I trust that God has a plan for my life, even though I might not always understand it. I know that I am a sinner and that I need Jesus, who died for me, and without him, I am nothing.
Thank you, Abby. Abby's asked Sarah Baumhoff to share a verse for her, and Sarah is one of our youth leaders and also an EA at Abbotsford Christian. But Abby, I have a question for you just before you get your gift. Abby, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for the forgiveness of your sins? Do you believe that he has incredible plans for you that you're not even aware of yet? How do you answer?
Check, check.
Sorry. So the verse I picked for Abby is from Matthew 6, verse 33 to 34. So it goes like this. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Abby, I picked this verse for you because you have such a huge heart, a huge empathetic heart, which is a beautiful quality that I admire in you. But this also means that you feel very deeply for situations in your own life and in others. And I want this verse to be an encouragement to you that if you seek God and his kingdom first, then you can find peace that God is always in control of all the rest. Very proud of you, Abby.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Annabelle Vanderkoy, and I hope you're all doing well. Growing up in a Christian home and attending New Life my entire life has kept my faith strong. All throughout elementary and middle school, I prayed every morning and every night before bed. We've always done devotions as a family, and I've attended a Christian school since kindergarten, but I never really reflected on my faith. I think it's important to explore the questions you have about your personal faith, but I wasn't really doing that. I was a lukewarm Christian and didn't see anything wrong with that for a long time. When I entered my later years of high school, I realized my faith wasn't where I wanted it to be. That concern was quickly brushed off, and I continued to live my old ways. I soon began not to pray as much and didn't really read my Bible. I also caught myself doubting my faith and doubting the existence of God. This past year at school, I started Bible modules, which are faith classes that the grade 12s take instead of one big Bible class. I really enjoyed all of my classes, but apologetics and big questions were modules that were especially intriguing for me. We tackled many of the things I always wondered about Christianity and God. Through these classes, I learned so much and felt comfortable asking questions regarding my faith. Many of my doubts were set at ease and my questions were answered. I knew God was real and started praying for him to reveal his presence more often. I prayed for God to remind me of the things I needed to change and improve on in my life, and how he wanted me to act when I was tempted into sin. I immediately felt God stopping me from saying, thinking, and doing things I knew weren't honoring to him. This past year has been incredible for my faith, and my relationship with God has really grown. I've still got a lot to work on, and I know it will never be perfect, and that's why I know I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I need him to continue to do the work of transformation in my life. I'm so incredibly grateful for all of my teachers and faith mentors, along with friends and family, for helping me on this journey and getting me to where I am today. And thank you all so much for listening.
Annabelle, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died and rose again for the forgiveness of your sins? And do you acknowledge your dependency on Jesus to transform you into his likeness by the power of his Holy Spirit? How do you answer? Annabelle has asked me to read a verse. Annabelle was in my Big Questions class, and I love the way that you were willing to ask questions, engage in the class. And when I see in your testimony that was something that you were specifically struggling with, you were a student that really felt like this was an important class for you on a spiritual level. And I want to encourage you to continue asking those questions. So we give our students an opportunity to choose either a Bible or this book. And so she says, well, I have a Bible. What's the book? And this book is called, Now That's a Good Question. So it makes sense that she would ask for this. So this is the verse that I've chosen for you, Annabelle, from Romans 12, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, which is what you're doing in class. by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Congratulations.
Good morning. My name is Elliot Sivinga. You might not know me, but you do know my dad. Happy Father's Day. I was born in California and moved here when I was 7. I was born into a Christian family, gone to a Christian school, and was taught a Christian lifestyle all my life. As a child, I didn't have a real faith challenging moment, so there was no reason for me to lose sight on God. But as I got older, I got distracted from what mattered. I always went to church, my parents made sure of that, but I found myself not always giving an attempt to sing during worship or listen and focus on the sermon. If you know me, you know my attention span is shorter than Coon's hair. While I might have called myself a Christian when I was younger, I never really made an effort to show it. I think that it was more my parents' faith rubbing off on me rather than my own independent faith. In my first few years of high school, I found myself in a rut. I lost contact with my first friends I made at the school, wasn't doing well academically, and had behavioral issues to the extent that if you were my friend, you'd probably see me as a bully. Usually when I'm in a difficult decision, I would pray for guidance and help through tough times, but I just couldn't get myself to do it. Instead, I would just waste my life away in my room, doing nothing. I was getting distracted from my faith by materialistic things. I found myself asking questions to no one in particular. Why me? Why is it this way? That same year, I joined the Mexico missions trip team with this church's youth group. Down there, I was able to connect with people about my faith and was able to ask those same questions to God. Until then, I'd never really shared about my faith with anyone. I saw it as my own intimate relationship with God, if you could call it that. I thought that if I shared my problems with anyone, I'd be accused for just seeking attention. But in Mexico, I wasn't really ashamed to talk about my problems, and I found a couple of answers to my questions. James 1 verse 2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." For me, this verse helped me to keep my faith in God. This verse really helped me because knowing this, I was able to persevere and keep God my main focus. Everything that God does happens for a reason, and I think that my tough times were a way for me to grow in my faith and my relationship with him. I by no means am a perfect Christian, not at all, which is why I need God as my Lord and Savior, and I hope that I can learn from my past experiences and continue to grow in my faith. Thank you.
Elliot, yeah, that's the one. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe he is the only one that can forgive your sins and that he is the one that from whom all your blessings come? How do you answer?
Hello? Hey. All right, so I was thinking of a verse for Elliot earlier this week, and I picked one from 1 Peter, and I'm just going to read it. "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Elliot, he's been coming to youth since grade 8, and here you go. And it's crazy. He's come to like every event except for when he says, "I got to study," which we all know is a ridiculous excuse. Anyway, he's going to Trinity next year for history, and that intimidates me because he's already taller than me, and he's now going to be smarter than me because I dropped out of TWU. So anyways, it's been an honor being your youth leader, and I'm looking forward to see what God has planned for you in your life. So thank you.
Hi, for those of you who might not know me, my name is Caitlin Charlebois, and I am 17 years old. Being raised in a Christian home, I have always attended both church and the Christian school. God has always been a part of my life. However, it wasn't until I was in grade 2 that I fully accepted him through prayer. Over time, through Sunday school and GEMS and Bible classes, my understanding of who God was and who I was through him developed. However, it was in grade 7 that my faith was tested. During that year, my collarbone had been hurting, and my mom decided to take me to the emergency room to see what was wrong. This was where they told me I had cancer. Being 12 years old, my mind went to the worst-case scenario. I asked myself why God would allow such a bad thing. It was then, after 8 more hours, with more testing, other doctors told me I didn't after all. However, it was through those few hours that taught me how to and why trusting in God was so important. I continued to more intentionally seek out God and understand the foundations to my faith. However, it was this year that I saw him at work the most. So I'm in grade 12, and at the beginning of this year, I had to decide where to go to university. I knew what I wanted to take, but not entirely sure where. I was leaning towards a secular university because I wanted to challenge myself and escape the Christian bubble. So when applying to schools, I applied to 2 public universities and 1 Christian one as a fallback. After getting into all 3, I assumed that I didn't need the fallback option anymore and thought I had chosen one of the 2. Except, one day in February, I was thinking about graduating and a random thought came into my head that I should go to the Christian option, which happened to be Trinity. Confused after months and not wanting to go to Trinity at all, I had made a pros and cons list. This concluded that the 2 schools were exactly equal. So I turned to God and decided to pray about it and asked him to show me where to go. 1 week later, I was with a friend who happens to go to Trinity, and she made a comment of how she didn't have a roommate. I then realized that this would take care of one of the downsides to Trinity, and that it might have been God deciding for me where to go. It was through this that I was able to see him and feel a sense of direction. So even though I've known God all my life, it was through gaining that understanding that he's my savior and learning how to trust in him that that I am here today professing my faith.
Caitlin, I have a question for you before your grandma gives you your Bible. Caitlin, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died and rose again for the forgiveness of your sins, and do you believe you can trust him regardless of what you may face in your life? How do you answer? Your grandma has a verse for you.
Caitlin, it is an honor and a privilege to be here. Today is the day that you chose to say yes and live for him. The Bible verse I chose for you is 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is in God's will for you, who you belong to Christ Jesus. Honey, I'm so emotional. My prayer for you is that each and every day that you will always pray and never stop believing and in all things give thanks to God, for this is the day that he has made.
Well, that's good. So I'd like to ask Caitlin's dad to join us on stage here. Nice and cold. I'm just kidding, it's toasty warm actually. It's nice to know the heater works. Right to the front here. Okay. Caitlin, I thank you for sharing your testimony. And in there we can see your trust and God's ability to guide you in some of life's difficult decisions. And now as we baptize you, this is an incredible symbol of dying to self and being raised in new life in Christ. So Caitlin, Paige, Charlebois, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. have one last question for you as a group. So if you want to just scoot down this way here, we'll just wait for Caitlin to dry off. She's going to drip on stage, which is great. One last question for you here. Do you promise to do all you can with the help of the Holy Spirit to share faithfully in the life of this church, honoring and submitting to its authority? And do you join with the people of God in doing the work of the Lord everywhere? How do you answer? All right. I'd like to just speak a blessing over you this morning. I welcome you to the full participation in the life of the church. I welcome you to its responsibilities, its joys, and its sufferings. You are not the church of tomorrow or someday where you may think you are perfect. You are the church of today, the bride of Christ now. And together across all ages and all stages, we rely not on our own human strength, but the power and the Spirit of God. We plead that the God of peace would equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in all of us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. Be the power and the glory forever. And all of God's people said, amen. Congregation of Jesus Christ, I'd like you to answer the following question, and if you agree, answer with the words, "We do, God helping us." Congregation of Jesus Christ, do you continue to encourage these young people that have stood this morning and professed their faith? Will you support them with your prayers and help them to grow by the example of your own relationship with Jesus Christ? New Life Church, how do you respond? We do, God helping us. If you said we do, there is some practical ways that you can even follow up on that commitment this morning. You can sign the cards here for them, just your signature. And what we'd really like is their gift Bibles are going to be back on the table again. And this seems like you shouldn't do this, write in Bibles, but we actually want you to find your life verse, your wedding text, a verse that has been significant for you in the highs and the lows of the Christian faith, so that when these students open their Bibles and seek God's word speaks through your own testimony. And so literally highlight those verses in their Bibles for them. You can write your own card. For this generation, getting a card in the mail is like, what? This is crazy. There's a stamp. Look, how cool is this? So you can just write them a card. You've got the New Life Vine. Their information's in there. Send it. You can fire off a text. This is the only Sunday where you can text during church. Send them off a text and congratulate them. Tell them that you're supporting them. Or you can make a note of the date, and every June 16th, you can give them a call or send them a text and encourage them in their faith. But I know there is one thing that we can do together to support each other in the faith, and that is to recite the Apostles' Creed. They have given a statement of faith this morning, but there has been a statement of faith that has guided us as Christ followers since the time of the apostles. And so we're going to recite that together. If you don't mind standing, and you can turn around and look on the screen. Together, let's say these words. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead and ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I'd like to now ask family and friends of those who profess their faith to come forward. If the eight of you don't mind standing on the next step down there, and then family and friends can come forward and the band as well. And if I can get some help closing this so the band doesn't fall into the baptismal tank, that would be awesome. So family, friends, come on forward and place your hands on these eight students that profess their faith. How awesome is this? This picture of community that surrounds these eight people. This is awesome. Hey. For those in the audience, you can just stretch your arm out in blessing as well. And let's pray. Our covenant God, we thank you for leading these young people to the faith that they have expressed today. May the fellowship of community strengthen them in faith and service to you. Help them to continue to learn more about you through your word and to grow in faith and love with your people. May they never cease to wonder at what you have done for them and will do for them. We pray a blessing upon their parents who have walked with them through the highs and the lows of their faith journeys. We ask for strength as they continue to support them in their faith. We thank you for this cloud of witnesses in this community and beyond this community that has spurred them on even when life got tough. God, show us as their extended community of faith how each one of us can be a support that we promised to them. Help them to continue to firmly grow in their faith, to bear witness to your love, and to let the Holy Spirit shape their life. May we, with all of your children, live together in the joy and the power of your wonderful gift, the Holy Spirit. We ask this in your name, and as a cloud of witnesses, we together say, Amen. All right, you may find your seats, and those that profess their faith, if you could put your Bibles back on the table there for people to continue to sign.